It's good to see you. Glad that you're here. Psalm number one, great psalm, a true psalm, and a simple truth, but one that I need to be reminded of on a regular basis, so maybe you do as well. Psalm number one, let's read the entire psalm, can we? I'm going to read it out loud. You follow along silently as we go through it. Hey guys, welcome. We're in Psalm number one when you find your place. Psalm number one, and the Bible says this, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Okay, real quickly, stop just for a second. Very first word of Psalm 1 is what? Blessed or blessed. The word blessed or blessed is the idea of, you may know this already, but the language in which the Old Testament was originally written, Hebrew language, is a language that is very picturesque. It's very, it actually draws pictures more than has definitions as much. The word blessed or blessed means a sigh of happiness or a sigh of contentment. It's That's kind of the idea. You know, if you work a job where you're responsible to turn in reports or anything, sometimes at major times of the year, or when you get to tax time, when we come close to April 15th and you're trying to do all your personal taxes, and if any of you are procrastinators, then you're waiting until April 13th or 14th to get them all done. Then you're working hard, and then finally, just in the nick of time, you get it done, and you take it to the mail, or you hit the send button on your computer, or whatever the case may be, and when it's all finished, you go, That's the idea of the word blessed. Now, I'm not suggesting you'll be blessed by waiting to the last minute to do your taxes. What I'm saying is that's what the word means. It's that sense on the inside of completeness of, oh, this is so good. Oh, I am so happy. That's the word blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, the Bible says, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But instead, this blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he, this blessed man, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Okay, now this is a tremendous psalm that we're going to break down over the next little bit, just the next several minutes together. And it's important for us, not only for this week and for today, but also for the rest of our lives. And so I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to help me to be able to share with you that which God wants you to know. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then while I'm praying, would you do the same thing? Just ask God to help you. If you're struggling with being tired this morning, which is legitimate, it happens, ask the Lord to help you over the next several minutes to be able to key in. Focus in. I'll do my best to speak in such a way so as to keep you engaged, but at this point, there's nothing that takes the place of you're just deciding that you're going to and asking the Lord's help and then doing it, making yourself, having the discipline to key in on what's going on. All right, let's talk to the Lord. Father, I love you. I thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to meet together this morning. You are a good God, and it's a pleasure to be able to serve you. And I am thankful for your word being delivered to us and the instruction that you give to us so that we can know what it is to live blessed, to be able to live with that kind of happiness. So help us this morning, dear God, please, to learn what it is that we need to learn. Help me to speak in such a way so that this makes sense and that people would be drawn to you. I do ask, dear God, that if there are some who this morning are struggling with things, circumstances in their lives, or something that's happened this week that either hurts or pushes at them, I pray that you'd please help them to be able to set that aside enough to be able to listen to your word, and that through this time, you would answer questions for them, or even for them resolve the issue that's pressing against their mind or against their hearts. We love you, Lord. We need you. I confess that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask these things of you. Amen. You know, if you were to take the entire population of the world and try to figure out one thing that drew everybody together, that is one common element or one common desire for every person, you know what it would be? Do you know what everybody wants? To be happy. Somebody says, well, they want love. Well, that's true. People do want love, but the reason why they want love is because they think love will make them happy. Somebody says, well, they want money. Well, that may be true that they want money, but the reason why people want money is because they think money will make them happy. Now, let me ask you a deep theological question. Will money make you happy, yes or no? That's right. So give it all to... No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking, of course. I shouldn't even tease about things like that. I don't mean it in an inappropriate way at all. Okay, so obviously when we talk about things or stuff, we know in our brains that things or stuff or money is not what brings us happiness. But doesn't the world, even though the world will say that, if you were to watch a news program and they were doing an in-depth study on happiness, they would come at the end of the time and they would say to you what I've just said to you. They would say, we have discovered that money does not bring happiness. So does that stop people from seeking money? No, obviously not. In fact, they would be saying that on a TV program that has segments broken up with advertisements that basically present to you products that they are telling you in their advertisements that if you really want to be happy, then you buy what it is that we're selling to you. And it really, you know, it doesn't matter what the product is. Here's somebody selling toothpaste. And they say to you, look, if you brush your teeth with this toothpaste, then your teeth will be white. And if your teeth are white, you'll be beautiful like this person who has white teeth. And everybody will love you, and then you'll be happy. So buy this toothpaste. You can be happy too. And the next commercial is a advertisement for coffee, which we know makes your teeth not white. And they say, buy this coffee, drink this coffee, and if you drink this coffee, then you'll be happy, or else you won't care whether or not you're happy because it's good coffee. And then the next one is pizza. And they're saying, buy this pizza because this pizza is really, really good, and if you eat this pizza, then you'll be happy. And the next one is a diet program. Get on this diet program and lose all the weight from the pizza you just ate from the advertisement before, because if you're skinny and you buy this, then you'll be happy. And the point is, every advertisement that comes up is all about, here's the way that you're going to be happy. Here's how you're going to love life. Here's how good things are going to be good, is if you just buy this, eat this, whatever this, then you will really, 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 really be happy. All right. Now, we know in our brains already that is not what brings happiness. Eating pizza may make you happy for a moment. But 20 minutes later, you're thinking to yourself, how did I eat that much? Any of you ice cream eaters? Anybody love ice cream? Okay, I'm an ice cream fanatic. I really enjoy ice cream, and I like good ice cream. And one of the problems that I have is I don't just like ice cream, but when I'm going to have ice cream, and if I'm going to have good ice cream, I don't want just a little bit of it. I want a lot of it. I think to myself, why torture myself with just a taste of ice cream when you can have an entire bowl? Okay, so it's 10 o'clock at night. And in the freezer, Brittany's bought my favorite kind of ice cream. And it's 10 o'clock, and I think to myself, I would love a bowl of ice cream. It would be really good to have a bowl of ice cream. So I go to the cupboard, and I grab out a bowl, and I grab out the ice cream scoop, and I scoop myself a large, large bowl of ice cream, and I eat the ice cream. Let me ask you a question. While I'm eating the ice cream, am I happy? Absolutely. Every bite brings a smile to my heart. Everything is great. Everything is wonderful. At 10:25 in the evening, am I happy about my ice cream? Well, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to have to run like 6 miles to get the ice cream worn off. Why did I do that to myself? Why did I put myself through it? The point is, you know this, but stuff doesn't make you happy. Now, here's what I love about God, and here's what I love about God and His Word and the instruction that He gives us here. There's only one person who honestly knows what it takes, for you and I to be happy. And that is God himself. In fact, if you look at verse number 6 of Psalm number 1, this caught my attention. This is super instructive. Verse number 6 says this, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Okay, let me ask you, theologian people, students of the Bible, those who come to Sunday school on Sunday morning, when the Bible says that the way of the ungodly shall perish, is that true or false? That is, those who disdain, who hate God, will there be punishment for those who reject God and reject God's way? Is there punishment for those? Okay. Who is it that sees to it that punishment comes on the ungodly? Because, as we're told in Psalm number 37, that sometimes there are people who apparently get to live their life ungodly, rejecting God, and yet they seem to get away with it. We're told not to fret ourselves concerning evildoers, for they'll soon be cut down as the grass and wither as the green herb. And the reason why we're told that is because when we look at people who live ungodly, sometimes it seems like they get away with everything. And to boot, they get to live the life that seems like the great way to live. Okay, but the Bible says that the way of the ungodly shall perish. And who is it that sees to it that that takes place? Okay, so God, the guarantor, he's the one who makes certain, who makes sure that the way of the ungodly will perish. That is, God is the one who has promised that punishment, and if God promises it, it will happen. True? Okay, well, if that is true, and it is, then the first part of verse number 6 is also true. Look down at verse number 6 and look at the point of what the psalmist, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is giving us here. Psalm 1, verse number 6 says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." Okay, look back up here. Let me tell you something. Just as certainly as God will see to it that people who reject his way will receive punishment, Psalm 1 is actually more about the first part of verse number 6, where the Bible says that those who follow God's way will be able to live with blessedness. Now let me ask you, who is it that guarantees blessedness in the lives of those who live righteously? Who is it? It is God. The same God who says those that reject me will perish is the same God who says, look, if you'll live according to what it is that I told you, if you will live as a righteous person, then God says, I will see to it that your way, that your life is blessed. Well, somebody says, Brother Tim, what if my experience doesn't match up to that which the Bible says? I try to live righteously. I want to follow God. I want to do what I'm supposed to do, but to be perfectly honest, right now my life isn't. Well, a couple things. Firstly is this. The people who don't live righteously, the people who reject God, they do get punished. Do they always get it instantaneously? No. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, the next verse talks about they that sow to the flesh shall reap corruption, but they that sow to life, the Spirit, shall reap life everlasting. That is, yes, when you sow, it takes time to reap, but it takes time either way. That is, the deal is, you and I, please get this because this is important for this week and for our lives. You and I have got to trust God when it comes to the way that we live our lives, knowing that just as certainly as there is a God that punishes sin, there's a God who will reward righteousness. That is, I can live with confidence. Even if right now I have some struggles and some issues and difficulties going on in my life, I can live knowing that the God who promises punishment to the wicked also promises blessedness to the righteous. And that's what the psalm is about. Psalm 1 is all about how to live happy. Now, when I say happy, I'm talking about something more than just a fleeting ice cream kind of happiness. We're talking about the blessedness that is on the inside. We're not talking about the pizza you eat because it looks good at 10:30 at night and you order it from Domino's or Pizza Hut or wherever you order your pizza from. We're talking about the kind of blessedness that is a long-lasting happiness. But come into it understanding that it is something about which we must trust God. Listen, in your family, learn to trust God when it comes to living the life that God would have you to live and expecting, anticipating that God will reward those who follow Him. We learn that that God rewards righteousness all throughout the Scriptures. I've been young, now I'm old, I have never seen the righteous begging bread. That is, God provides, God takes care of, and He'll do the same thing for us. But there may be a time when we are just living by faith, trusting that what God says is so, by continuing to follow what God has provided. Now, let me tell you something, this is really the truth. The reason why this church exists is so that you know how to live blessed, so that you can be happy. You want to know why we have revival weeks? Why we have a week where we set aside our normal scheduled activities. And we meet as we do weekly on Sunday morning and then on Sunday night. But then we also meet Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night. You want to know why? Because Pastor figured you guys had nothing else to do. That you were bored in your activities in life. That there wasn't enough going on at work. And school wasn't taking up enough of your time. And Walmart lines were too short, so you had extra time. So I figured that we might as well have services just so you could come. Is that the reason for which we have meetings? Oh, no. No. I totally get the busyness of schedules of everyday life, but let me tell you something. Forgive the English. Ain't none of the things that you and I are involved in, that we can touch with our hands or put in our pockets or fill our bellies with, that will provide us the kind of blessedness that God will. And so we need a week like this so that we can refocus our attention so that you can live And that's why this week exists. Now, real quickly, we have a few minutes. Let's look and see what the psalmist lays out on how to have a blessed life. He says in verse number 1, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, if you've been to church for any number of years at all, then you've heard messages from Psalm number 1. I'll not spend a lot of time going into depth on it, but just so that we're on the same page. You probably heard before that verse 1 is a progression. That is, he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That is, walking in counsel, listening to ungodly counsel, listening to people who don't follow God's way. Be careful about the counsel you get, which you know. By the way, let me just say this. We do have some young people, some teenagers and young people, and it is important for teenagers to get counsel from godly places. Thank God if you have parents who love you and love the Lord. Thank God for a church like this where the Bible is preached and there are people who love the Lord who want to counsel and help you in the way you should go. So listen to godly counsel. Don't walk in ungodly counsel. For what it's worth, adults need counsel as well. True? All of us need it, whether we realize it or not. All of us need counsel, and getting counsel in the right place is of the utmost importance when it comes to doing what's right. So watch out for ungodly counsel. When I was in college, I had a roommate who he was a freshman. I was a senior. Brittany and I had been dating for our entire 4 years. Brittany was the second girl that I ever dated. I dated a girl briefly in high school, and then we went to college. I met Brittany. We started dating end of our freshman year, and by our junior year, we were engaged, and then we got married right after graduation. When I say dating, I went to church and meals with 5,000 of our closest friends and staff members who hid in the bushes with shotguns if you did anything you weren't supposed to, and they shot you. So when I say dating, understand what I mean. But we dated all that time, and I had a roommate who was a fresh who was a freshman, Brittany and I must have had some tiff. I don't even remember what it was about. We never had major, major arguments, but we must have disagreed about something. And so I was telling my brother was another roommate, so I must have been telling my brother about it. I actually don't remember how it happened, but my freshman roommate heard me discussing the disagreement that Brittany and I had had, and he said to me, "Hey, Tim, look, I can help you with this." He said, "I understand the way women think." Okay, time out. If there's a guy who claims to understand the way a woman thinks, you can know right off the bat he's lying, because there ain't a man alive that understands the way a woman thinks. It's just not possible. But he said to me, "I understand the way women think. After all," he says, "I have had 14 girlfriends. So I can help you with this." All right. So I said to him, "Dude," because I was in college, so I said, obviously now I would never say anything so unsophisticated, but back then, "Dude, you've had 14 girlfriends? I've had 2. Why would I listen to you? You can't even keep a girl for 4 months. Why would I listen to what you have to say?" Getting counsel in the right place is so valuable. And you get counsel according, if you want to be blessed, if you want to be happy, getting counsel in the right place is of the utmost importance. Listen, all of us, young and old, I deal with this. Where when I'm in the need of counsel, where I am certain about a decision that needs to be made and I need help, I always want to go to someone who's going to tell me what I want to hear. And I know the people to go to for that. I know the people who will just say, "Well, what do you think? That's a great idea. Go with it." I know which people will tell me that are inside my circle, the people that I love and can talk to. I also know the people that if I go to them will tell me whether I want to hear it or not, what I ought to hear. People that love God and love me and are willing to say, "Okay, Tim, I think your attitude about this person is not right. It sounds to me like you're dealing, well, I don't want to hear that. What I want to hear is, Tim, you're totally justified in the way you feel about this. They wronged you. It's fine for you to snub your nose at them." That's what I want to hear. Does anybody else ever feel this way? Well, maybe not you, but you've read books about people that feel that way. Okay. All of us are tempted towards getting counsel from people who will just tell us what we want to hear, whether you're a teenager or whether you're adult. I tease young people about this all the time, teenagers, because here's a 16-year-old girl who's struggling with her mom about something. You know, they disagree about something. Not that this ever happens, but I've heard. So here's a 16-year-old girl that's struggling with mom about something, so she needs counsel. So where does she go? Well, obviously, you go to all of your other 16-year-old friends who are having trouble with their moms and tell them what the situation is so that you can get great counsel about what you're supposed to do. Well, just on the face of it, when you say it that way, it's like, oh yeah, that doesn't make sense. And yet sometimes that is exactly what we adults do as well. I'm struggling with something. I don't know anybody's situation. Pastor hasn't said anything to me. So if this touches, I don't know. All right, but here's somebody who's struggling in their marriage. Well, friend, excuse me, but if you're struggling in your marriage, you don't go to somebody else who's struggled in their marriage or struggling in their marriage in order to get counsel about things. You go to people who are godly. Nobody's perfect, but they've done what was right and they've made the hard decisions and they've stuck it out and they've stayed together and they've done what they're supposed to do. That's where you go to get counsel. And here Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." And then it goes on to progress. If you walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. That is, once you listen to ungodly people, then you're going to make ungodly decisions. You're in the counsel of the ungodly, you stand in the way of sinners, and then eventually end up sitting in the seat of the scornful. A scornful is a person who mocks that which is right. It's just a progression of what happens. And the Bible says, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in that counsel and doesn't follow this progression of becoming a part of the sinful life and then eventually making fun of, making mock of that which God has said is right. But the Bible says, on the other hand, instead of this, this blessed man, this person whose life is satisfied, that blessed man instead, the Bible says, delights in the law of the Lord. Okay, time out. Couple things. This is important, so stick with me. If your brain is wandering, right now is the time to bring it back in, all right? When the Bible talks about delighting in the law of the Lord, the law of the Lord, the word of God, the way of God, a couple things. The word delight means to lean toward. It means to have an enjoyment for, to desire. You ever seen someone who's newly married? You know, they come to church and you're sitting three rows behind them. So they're newly married and they sit beside each other. But if you're looking from the back, like three rows back, it looks like one body with two heads sticking out because they're sitting so close to each other. And, you know, 5 years later, there's seats and children between them. And so they can't, it's like, hello, good morning. But man, when they're first married, they're sitting so close. They just kind of lean towards each other. Okay, for a number of years, Brittany and I have worked at a Christian camp in Tennessee called the Bill Rice Ranch, and we'll have anywhere from 200 to 600 young people who come any given week of the summer to the Bill Rice Ranch. And it's not unusual, this may surprise you, but it's not unusual at camp for two people from different parts of the country to come. And here's a guy from Michigan and a girl from Florida, and they come to the Bill Rice Ranch, and they see each other, and they fall desperately in love on Monday. You know, they find each other, and this is the one for whom their soul has always longed. You know, this is this is it. This is the real thing, the real deal. They're 13 years of age, and they found the ones that they're meant to be with for the rest of their lives. Okay, so they'll come. At the ranch, we have rules about guys and girls and how close they can sit and things like that. And we have a place down at after evening services. It's a place called Cowboy Town, which is where all the cool and fun stuff happens after the service. There's a basketball court with bleachers all around it and gaming area for outside fun games, ping pong and such things like that. And then all kinds of ice cream and nachos and drinks you can buy, good health food for the kids before they go to bed, and, you know, ices and such. And so they'll go down there, and here's what happens. Here's this guy and this girl, and they've met each other, and they'll go down and they'll sit on the bleachers, and they're not allowed to touch because that's against the rules, but they'll sit and they'll just kind of lean towards each other. There's this lean. You can get a piece of paper between their shoulders. There's something magical about the shoulder and the kneecap because they just kind of lean towards each other. It's not like they're normal people that have a conversation. It's not like they turn and say, hello, what's your last name? There's none of that. It's just they sit beside each other, and the guy is thinking to himself, man, I wish I could go play basketball. And the girl is thinking to herself, man, I wish he'd take a shower. But they just sit there. They just sit there and lean towards each other. Now, for what it's worth, in case there are any guys or girls that have ever been involved in this or you ever go to camp, look, just so you know, guys, look, this girl does this every week. Every time she comes, she gets a different guy. She gets the guy to buy her nachos and ice cream. She leaves with more money than she came with because of these guys. And so just know that she already has the Dear John letter written by Tuesday afternoon, but she's waiting until Friday to get everything she can. And girls, if you can find an idiot who will go for it, have at it and get all you can from him. The point is the enjoyment, the desire for is the idea of what the psalmist is writing about here. Okay, so stay with me and think with me. I've been a little silly just for the sake of keeping your attention, but stick with me here. Okay. The Bible says the person who's going to be blessed is a person who rejects ungodly counsel. Even though it may make me feel good, I know it comes from an ungodly person or an ungodly source. I'm not going down that path. But instead, my delight, my longing, my enjoyment is for the law of the Lord, the way of God, the things that God says are right. Now stop just for a second. if in your brain you say on the inside of you, he's talking about having your devotions, you're missing the entire point. It is good to read the scriptures. It is good to see what the Bible says. But when he talks about delighting in the law of the Lord, it has more to do with allowing the word of God to have the impact in my life that God intended for it to have. Look, if you come to church every time the doors are open, and if you read the Bible every morning and you memorize scripture, that's all fine, that's all good. But it does not accomplish blessedness in your life until you're willing to allow the scriptures to impact your life. Do you see what's being taught? In other words, the Bible's not a magical book. I don't listen to ungodly counsel. No, I memorize the scriptures, and when I memorize the scriptures, then I'm going to be blessed. No. I'm going to reject ungodly counsel. True. But then I'm going to allow the scriptures to become my counsel. Let the word of God dwell in me richly. Let the scriptures be the guide for my life. Hey, which means I listen to what the Bible says about how I treat other people, about how I treat my spouse, about the way I do business. I let the word of God be what gives me the direction for life. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and this law doth he meditate. He thinks on it. It's a part of his life day and night. Hey, let me just say this real quickly, because it is important. Look, if you want the word of God to provide direction for you so that you can be blessed, then the word of God does need to have a part of your thinking on a regular basis. Do you know what my tendency is? My flesh's tendency is to do as little thinking as possible. It is so much more fun for me to sit down and veg watching something on television than to think. Now, I'm not suggesting, I'm not saying, nor does the Bible, that it is wrong for us to enjoy amusement. Now, there's a wrong kind of amusement, but the Bible's not saying amusement is wrong. But what the Bible says is, if I want to be blessed, then the Word of God has got to be running through my mind so that I can think through it and then follow what it has to say. And it would do most of us good to make some decisions about turning off some stuff, to ride down the road without immediately turning on the radio, or to come home in evenings and not have the first thing we do to flip on the television and then watch it for the next 3 hours before we go to bed. It would do most of us good to make some choices about, you know what? I want to be blessed. I believe that it's God that can bless me. God says I'll be blessed if I'll meditate on his word and follow it, let it impact my life. Let me think through it. Okay, stop. If you just went to, all right, that means I need to make sure I make a rule for myself that I don't watch TV anymore, and if I don't watch TV, then I'll be blessed. No, don't miss the point. The point is, I want the word of God to impact my life. I've got to think through it so that I can live by it. And then the Bible says that when I do, that I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. My leaf shall not wither. Whatsoever I doeth shall prosper. It'll be good. Listen to this. Provision by the rivers of water. Everything that I need to grow, I'll have. all I need. Just like a tree by the rivers of water gets all of its nutrients. It becomes a strong tree because of what it gets. That's what happens when I delight in, when I love, when I think on the Word of God, when I allow it to impact my life. Provision, production, His bring forth His fruit in His season. Your life will bear witness to the fact you gain wisdom when you follow the Word and way of God. You gain understanding when you follow the Word and the way of God. You will have influence when you follow the Word and the way of God. You will be a smarter person when you follow the Word and the way of God. I'm telling you, it works. You'll bear fruit. It'll happen. So you'll be provided, provision, production, protection. Your leaf also shall not wither. The sun that beats against the tree without water and withers it is the same sun that provides strength for the tree that's connected to the water. In other words, everybody has trials. Everybody has hardships. When you're connected to God, hardships make you stronger. They don't destroy you. And then whatsoever you do shall prosper. Prosperity. Man, what a great way that would be to live, eh? That's my Canadian moment. To be able to live with everything I'm doing prospering. Well, that's what God says will happen. Well, Tim, how do I know? Well, because the same God that says, I'll see to it that the wicked are punished, is the same God who says, I know the way of the righteous. I'm aware of what it is that's happening. So let's have our delight be in the law of the Lord. And that's what this week is about. And so in each service, we're going to look at the way of the Lord, the law of the Lord, what God wants for us, what God wants for you. Why? Because God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be blessed. So let's let Him speak to us in that way. Father, thank You for the promises of Your Word. Impact us, please. Bring it to our full attention. Help us to make wise choices. Give us enough wisdom to recognize that we need some wisdom. And help us to make wise choices and to delight in Your way, in Your Word. And Lord, we look to You to be the one who knows our way and provides the happiness that only You can. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask these things of You. Amen. We'll see you in the next hour.